We're going to be in the book of Galatians this morning, except for one verse. I'd like for you to be opening to there. We're going to be looking at freedom in Christ. I thought on this 4th of July weekend, it might be a good thing to talk about freedom for a little bit. And I wanted us to do that today, and primarily looking at what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia. Hope you've had a good 4th, but this is not passage of Scripture nor a subject that's limited to a day a year. This is something that we need to be thinking about all the way through our entire lives. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes at the heart of this book these words: "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." When you read through this book, and we're going to look at three different passages this morning from the book of Galatians that talk about the freedom that we have in Christ, one of the things that's going to strike you if you read these verses and think about them carefully are the paradoxes of freedom that are offered to us in Christ. They don't seem to make sense. They don't seem to make sense to us when we look at them and we wonder exactly how these things can be true and exactly what's being talked about here. But they become clear when we pay attention to what God is saying. They become clear when we begin to understand exactly what God is writing to us. And that means that the heart of understanding about freedom is the heart of understanding faith. Faith is not simply believing whatever I want to believe. It cannot be. And faith is not simply feeling very strongly about God or about Christ. It means much more than that. You cannot have faith without God having spoken. Because faith means believing Him. Faith means trusting Him. And without Him having spoken to tell us about what He has done and what it means and what it signifies, there is no faith. Which is why the Bible will tell us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith means we trust something that we haven't seen yet. And we trust it simply because He's told us, not because we've seen it with our own eyes. And so we have a man by the name of Abraham who believed he would have grandchildren long before he ever had a child. God simply tells us what He's done and what He's doing, and we trust. And because these paradoxes exist in this freedom that we have in Christ, we have to learn to distinguish between them. We have to think. And we have to think about what's going on around us in comparison to exactly what God has said. Because we hear a lot of different things, and those things are not exactly true. Just take, for example, one thing that you're already hearing a lot of, and we're going to hear a lot more of it. Because the label that is put on us as Christians is our judgmental attitude. Because we are quoted from Scripture as saying that Jesus said, "Do not judge," and yet you are judging and you are condemning. And therefore, you do not even believe what the Bible itself says, because Jesus said, "Do not judge," and yet that's exactly what you're doing with regard to the sins that exist in the world and sometimes even in our own lives. And we have that statement read to us because people don't understand it. And we back off from things because we don't understand it. And we have no idea exactly what is meant. And we never think about the idea that you cannot exist in this world and you cannot live faithful to God and faithful to Christ without making judgments. And we don't understand the verse, "Don't judge lest you be judged," because we've never read it carefully. We've never read it to understand exactly what's being said. We've never read it to understand and comprehend exactly what Jesus is talking about. And when we do that, The seeming paradox clears up. And we understand that what he's saying is not to go around judging and condemning others when I'm doing the very same thing myself. But judgment is to be made. Judgments have to be made. Judgments have to be made between right and wrong all of the time. So I want us to look at some of the paradoxes that are found for us in the book of Galatians. And let's think a little bit about this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. The first place I want us to look is Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. And here the Apostle Paul talks about Christ. And he says this about Jesus, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us, give us freedom from, save us from, that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. We are freed from this present evil world, yet we still live in it. We are free from this present evil world, yet we're still impacted by it. Or we can be. And especially if we're not paying attention to Christ. And our trust is not being put in Him. We will find ourselves being impacted by this world on a continuing basis. So in what sense are we freed from it? It's again by the promise of God. This is the one place we're going to leave Galatians. We're going over one book to the book of Ephesians where Paul explains what he's talking about in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. And this is in Ephesians chapter 2 in the first five verses. And this is what he says. You were dead in your trespasses and sins because you're part of this world. Because you live in this world. Because you were a part of the way this world lives. Every person in this world is dead to God in their trespasses and sins unless, and Paul goes on, he says this, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. If you look at that verse and think about it carefully, Jesus, by his death on the cross, made it possible for us to be rescued from the deadness that the world is in because of our ignoring God and what he has said. And the reason why Jesus has done that, or the way Jesus has done that, is by offering himself as a sacrifice for us. And if we come to trust him and trust his sacrifice, it brings about a change in our thinking. If we truly comprehend what he has done for us, he will pull us to himself, which is what he's talking about when he says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And if we understand God's grace to be Jesus, and if we understand God's grace to be found in Jesus and what Jesus has done, and we understand that that rescues us from the death that we have being separated from God because of our sins. It changes our mind and our attitude to the point we fall in love with Christ and to the point we strive to live for him. But if we cheapen grace to where grace is nothing more than because of what Christ did, God will overlook everything that we've ever done in the world. And it doesn't matter how you live. And it doesn't matter what you do in life. And it doesn't matter what things you do contrary to the will of God. You're okay because God has just simply wiped them all away because of what Christ did for us. And nothing is expected of us. Then we don't understand God's grace. And we are still dead in our trespasses. We have no love for Christ, and we're not making any change whatsoever. One of the heartbreaking things that I've been reading since the Supreme Court made its ruling with regard to homosexuality is the idea that that day is being referred to by some as a celebration of love and a celebration of grace. They don't understand grace. And they do not understand the love of God for us. And this paradox, we are freed from this present world. How? By the death of Jesus. And by our trust in Him, we have a heart toward Him that turns us away from the life that is lived in this world. And our heart is turned toward God to begin to live a life for Him. We are freed from this world through faith in Christ, if we put trust in Him. And it's one of those things that's a paradox, because we're freed from this world, but we still live in it. But it's no longer a home. It's no longer what we want to be. It's no longer where we want to stay. There's a change that's been brought over us because of Christ and because of His love for us and because of who He is and what He offers to us. And we understand it through faith, freed from this present evil world. Secondly, chapter 1, verse 10. In chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes this: "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God?" This describes that life he just talked about in verse 4. Who are you living for, Paul? Living for yourself, or are you living for God? You're living to please everybody around you, or are you living for God? "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." I've been set free from pleasing men. That is a very special blessing when we understand it and comprehend it. But it's still something that plagues us. And it's still something that bothers us. And it's still something that causes us some problems. Who do you live to please? Do you live to please others? Or do you live to please Jesus? And then the second thing in this verse, and I'm going to tie the two together, is that we are free, and yet we're still slaves. Now there's a paradox. We are free, and yet we are still slaves. But this slaveship to Christ, this being a bondservant to Him, and this living to please Him because He is my Lord and my Master, never brings any shame, never brings any guilt. It brings fulfillment of life. It brings joy. It brings peace. It is not a bondage where there is a hardship placed upon me that is almost impossible for me to bear in my human spirit. It sets me free. It makes me alive. It causes me to live like I was created to live. It causes me to be who I was created to be. It truly sets me free in every sense of the word. Freedom, being a slave to Christ, and being set free from pleasing other people. You remember an illustration that kind of illustrates this whole point for us? The Apostle Paul will talk about it in the book of Galatians. And he talks about it from the standpoint of when the Apostle Peter came to Antioch. And when Peter came to Antioch, he was eating with the Gentile brethren, because they were his brethren in Christ. But then some Jews came from Jerusalem, and when they came from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew from the Gentiles. Why? Because he was afraid of what somebody would think about him. But that somebody wasn't God, and that somebody wasn't Christ. He was afraid what his fellow Jews back in Jerusalem would think about him, and he was afraid of what those Jews who were coming would think about him. And because he was afraid of what they would think about him, it caused him to move away from what he knew Christ would be having him to do. And so Paul withstood him to his face. Who am I afraid of knowing about what I do? Who am I afraid for them to see me? Who am I afraid of? Is it men or is it Christ? Free from people, free from the fear of people, a servant of Jesus Christ, that sets you free. That is a freedom indeed. We're going to come back to that idea in just a second. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. We're going to cap out here for just a second. Well, this is one of those passages that if you don't get it, you don't get Christianity. If you don't get this, you don't get Jesus Christ. You don't get the Bible. You don't get this freedom. If you don't get what this verse is talking about. Chapter 3, starting with verse 10, we're going to read this. And here's what Paul writes. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Every person who's trying to get to God by keeping law, specifically the law, is under a curse. What's that curse? And again, what Christ has set us free from is the curse of the law. And Paul's about to explain that curse before he tells us about Christ setting us free from it. And here's the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. The law must be obeyed. The law made no provision for grace. The law made no provision for forgiveness. The law made no provision for hope outside of complete obedience. And we are still being bound by that idea and that thought in the way that we think. Because instead of trusting Christ, so many of us are afraid we're going to do something wrong. And guess what? You are constantly going to do something wrong. Let's go on and read. Now that no one is justified by the law. Catch this. Nobody is justified by the law. None of those who lived under it were justified by the law. Moses was not. Daniel was not. As good a life as he lived, none of those individuals could be saved apart from Jesus Christ. Because nobody could be justified by the law before God is evident. Because the law says, the righteous man, or rather the Bible says, and God says, the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous man does not live by the law. He does not live by keeping the law. He lives by faith. He lives by trusting Jesus and by putting his trust in Jesus. However, the law is not a faith. On the contrary, instead of he who believes, the law says he who practices these things will live by them. But no one does that. No one ever has except Christ. And no one ever will. Christ redeemed us. He set us free. He gave us freedom. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's not by any magic prayer. Our salvation is not by any magic deeds. Our salvation is not by any magic phrases that we say and that we comprehend. Our salvation is by trusting and believing. Our salvation is trusting Jesus, who he is and what he's done, and believing Him. And when we trust Him and believe Him, we turn to Him. And when we trust Him and believe Him, it will change the way we live. When we trust Him and believe Him, it will cause us to feel remorse when we do things contrary to His will. And all God says is just acknowledge it, and I will forgive you. And we simply acknowledge that we haven't been what Christ would have us to be, and we ask Him to forgive us, and we strive again in a life of living by being faithful to Him, and trusting Him, and believing Him. We change the way we live, and we change the conduct that we have. And that we have got to get. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. But the price for it has already been paid for you. And we trust it. And we believe it. Trusting Him will bring us to the baptism. Trusting Him will bring us to the assembly. Trusting Him will cause us to do all the different things that Christians do. Because it's what He said. Because it's what He wanted. Because it's what He asked. So we trust Him. And we believe Him. And we have freedom in Christ as a result of it. We're free from the law, yet we're fulfilling the law. We're made free from the law, yet we're accomplishing what the law says. Because if you trust Jesus and believe in Him and you strive to walk like Him, you're doing exactly what the law expected. And so this paradox, we're free from the law, and yet we fulfill it in Christ. And we're free from sin, and yet we're sinning. So how can we be free from sin if we're sinning? Because He set us free from sin. And His blood constantly washes us free from all the sins that we've committed. And constantly washes us free from everything that we do wrong. This freedom that we have in Christ. We are free from sin. And His blood makes us clean and keeps us clean. Even though we still sin. Then this one. Chapter 4 and verse 8. We are free from those who are not gods. Now who would that be? Chapter 4, verse 8. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? See, what's happening at Galatia is them guys who are Judaizing teachers who are coming to Gentiles and saying to them, it's great that you believe in Jesus, but it's not enough. You got to become a Jew first before your belief in Jesus Christ can have any impact and be effective at all. And Paul is fighting that as hard as he can. And then he comes to this. The Gentiles would know full well what it means to be under the control of those who are not gods. And so do we. Is he talking about idols? Yes. But we have our own idols. Our idols can be our money. Our idols can be our job. Our idols can be ourselves. But he kind of, when you think about the phrase and you think about all that it covers, there are a lot of different areas that the Apostle Paul could have in mind. Free from those that are not gods. Free from people. Free from my friends. Free from those that are around me who think they know better than what God has written. Who think they know better than God Himself. Who will even argue and try to go get me to go contrary to what God has said and to His will. They consider themselves gods even though they would not acknowledge it. They consider their own thoughts and their own ideas to be above even that of God. Who am I afraid of? Who do I live to serve? Who am I the bondservant of? Is it other people? Or is it God Himself? Free from superstition. You have things that you're afraid not to do. You have things that you're afraid that if I don't do that, sometimes we turn the Lord's Supper into a superstition. Sometimes we feel like we're out of place with God if I'm too sick to come. We don't have that trouble as much as we used to, but we make other things superstition. We'll make prayer superstition. We'll make reading the Bible sometimes a superstition. We'll make anything that's an act of serving God that God has asked us to do, we can turn it into a superstition. But we have a lot more than that. Am I afraid of my superstitions? Am I controlled by them rather than being controlled by Christ? Free from the institutions of men. Am I afraid what this body of people will think of me, or am I afraid of what Christ will think of me? Am I afraid of what the brotherhood will think about me, or am I afraid of what Christ will think about me? Am I afraid of my neighborhood? Am I afraid of my country? Am I afraid of my officials? Or am I afraid of Christ? Can you see Paul, who wrote this letter, and the way he lived his life? In prison in Rome, but not afraid of Rome. Appealing to Caesar, but not afraid of Caesar. Doing all things to become whatever he needed to be to all people, but not being the servant of any of them, like he was to Christ. But he would serve them in serving Christ. Freed in Christ. Free from death. Yet I'm dying. How can I be free from death and yet be dying? Because of the promise that God has made. God has not promised that he would save me from death. He's promised that he will save me through death. He has promised me that in spite of my death, I will be raised from the dead, and then will come about the saying, "Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting?" It is then that I understand the true freedom that God gives to me now through faith, putting my trust in him, that there is nothing here to be afraid of, because Christ is over everything, and Christ is in control of everything. So I am free from death, even though I'm dying. And all of us are. But in Christ Jesus, we are freed from it. Freedom in Christ. Let's hold to him above everything and anything. Are you free in Christ? Are you in him? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation.